The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Guys, it's been an interesting day on the program. Many more guests to come, but we have time for calls right now. And let's do that. And Ricky is in Mobile, Alabama.
What's up, brother Paul? I appreciate you, and I pray for y'all every day, and I enjoy the show every day. It's definitely thankful to have somebody that lets people talk, man. I mean, that's just, I mean, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to hear the other side of the story. But right here on the CDC, early CDC COVID-19 test kits lightly contaminated by the WebMD medical facility report. They put this report out today. June 23rd, COVID-19 test kits created.
Yeah, tell you what, Ricky, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Okay, you're back now. I'm sorry. We lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The initial COVID-19 test kits created by the CDC failed a contaminated component according to the review by the Department of Health and Human Services. A region in the first batch of test kits was lightly contaminated, according to the report obtained by Sinclair Broadcasting Group. The kits were meant to be used by public health laboratories until commercial labs could develop and mass-produce coronavirus tests. These tests are so sensitive that the contamination could have been caused by a single person walking through an area with positive control material and then later entering in where test reagents were being manipulated, according to the report. In other words, this report is telling you that this is totally being contaminated. The tests were totally cooked. The numbers were cooked because they went by all these false tests. I think they're trying to blame it on this, what it looks like to me, because the tests don't work. That's what it is. And the high number of tests, the more people test positive, the better it is for us. Because the death rate goes down to less than 0.003%, less than 0.5% of death rate. So it's a good thing if people are testing positive. But they're saying now that all those tests, first half of the deal was contaminated. I'm telling y'all, this is a bunch of crap, man. This is, they're not being honest with us, you know, at best.
Let's cut to the chase here, Ricky. What does all this mean?
Okay. I think what it means is they're going to back out of this virus thing, because I think the Democratic Party, I mean, I think it's a real virus. I think it's a real
hold on.
Virus.
Hold on. Who is going to back out of the virus?
The CDC, because all the stuff that's coming on the web about Bill Gates, and I'm telling you, these people are wanted in other countries that are coming after them, and it's really shaking them up. And Trump pulled out of the CDC, said he's no, the America's totally coming out of it.
Hold on, he pulled out of the WHO.
Well, you know what I mean. And
the CDC is a federal agency in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, but it's tied to the UN, the world. That's why it's the WHO.
Well, no, you know, I mean, the CDC, works with the WHO, which is a subset of the United Nations.
Okay. This is what I see, Paul. I believe they're going to try to lower the, since the death rate's come to all the way down the way it is, it's no longer a pandemic thing. They're going to use that to kind of slide out of this, because I think they're hiding the bankruptcy. This is the thing. I think they're using this because of bankruptcy, the dollar's crashing, and this is you know, some kind of ploy to take the dollar down easy, get it used to it.
Because with one thing, Ricky, let's assume that everything that you have said is true, okay?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean then?
Well, there's two things can happen. Either the Lord's going to give us a little time and we're going to repent and go back to a nation that really, really repents and gets back right because we're totally corrupt from top to bottom, or the new world order and the revelations fixing come true and all hell's fixing to break loose with the mark of the beast. I don't know if we're at that point just yet. I think there's a pause in God's mercy right now to show us as a nation we need to turn to him for healing for viruses and get back under what this country was created to do. And now the corrupt politicians and the bankers have taken us over, and we're totally their slaves and at their mercy. And if we wake up as a people, this is what I mean by we can get our college football.
We have to go in a second here, Ricky, because if you could make one, I mean, other than faith and which is pretty important, is there anything that we as a people can do right now?
Let's pray to God to forgive us and get and help our get the corrupt politicians out and forgive us as a nation, and and tell him we're sorry and mean it, and ask him to heal our nation and heal this these I'm telling you, it's a spiritual warfare.
By the way, Ricky, this is going on all over the world.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think it's biblical. That's why I think it's that's the sign that I think God's shaking the whole earth. To make the whole earth, because we're all tied to the money, the love of money.
Okay, so
all evil.
Is it real or not, though? I mean, if it's affecting the entire earth.
I believe it's the Antichrist coming in, the system coming in. I don't trust Republicans or Democrats or none of them. I think they're all corrupt. I think we're just being used as puppets, and we're all fixing to wake up to that, because they can't hide this much longer. I mean, this is all over the internet. Everybody's going to know the truth before long if they bring out that chip and try to unchip us.
Hey, thank you very much. Andre's up next in Atlanta.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call.
First of all,
tell that guy that everything on the internet is not true. Get out of his mama's basement. Listen, I listened to you yesterday. Man, what a love fest between you and Mr. Jim over in Alabama. I was crying when Jim finally got off the phone.
I don't know. It's got to rank as one of the five happiest days of my life.
Listen, man, what a love fest. Y'all were just spreading the love over both of each other. You throwing love on Jim and Jim throwing love back on you. Listen, Coach, what's really sad here is it's according to where you acquire your news source from is whether you take this thing serious or not. I am amazed at how many people I see out there with no mask on, young people. And I tell them, listen, you can shake this off, but what about your grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandparent? If you take it home to Big Mama or Big Papa or your great aunt and great uncle, or if they have other health issues, congested heart failure, diabetes, or high blood pressure, they may not be able to shake this thing off. It's about them. But a lot of people don't understand that, Coach. You know, when we heard back in March, oh, this is going to blow over just like a cold or the flu. No, it's not. This is a killer. And people have to take this thing serious. Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call, and I listen to your comments off the air.
Well, thank you very much, and great to have you on. Let's go to Montgomery. I mean, it's up next.
Goodness gracious alive, Paul. What an afternoon. I mean, we're talking raptures and revelations and Antichrist and the mark of the beast and being chipped. And then Jim comes on and Jim insinuate to the world? And I think he did. Did he insinuate to the world that he played for Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama and that all the people loved him? And when he was wearing his letter sweater, they all put him on their shoulders and took him to the Dairy Queen. And they all got root beer, shakes, and everybody loved him. And when he come on your show, he always talked ball. He always talked ball, but he told you 3 years ago he wasn't talking no ball. But Jim's been calling you for a long time. That's a long, 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 long 3 years, Jim from Tuscaloosa. And you got to love it when he's filling in all them lies, and then he goes to the Bible. And God's going to tear this earth apart. He's going to tear this. He's going to come through here walking, stomping, pointing fingers, say, you. And, Paul, I'm amused by all of this. We have, because football's not going to be played, and we got pictures of red states all over the country. It's the end of time. It's the end of time, ladies and gentlemen. We's all going. And you better pray. And you better be sensitive. And you better be kind to everybody. You better throw down them damn crutches of man, ladies and gentlemen, and stand up and represent. Paul, I'm about to have a fluid convulsion here listening to all this BS. Are you? And see, you're in the driver's seat. You've got the best seat in the world. there ain't nobody like you. There ain't nobody ever going to be like you. Because you just sit back and let them have it. Let them have it. Speak. You didn't even call Jim out on hanging out with Bear Bryant and playing at Alabama. And there's no records of him even playing in high school. Because they didn't keep records then, Paul. They didn't keep records. But they got statues all over Tuscaloosa of guys that played and coached football way back in the 20s. But they didn't keep no records, Paul. Listen, I think you ought to pray for me because I need some help. I need some help understanding where we're going. Are we going to hell or not? And if we're going, let's go now. Wardan Eagle, have a good day.
We will take a short break back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Excited about this next guest. I've always admired Jay Mariotti, just a fantastic columnist, almost 20 years in Chicago, whether he wants to be or not, best known probably for a legendary run on Around the Horn, still shaking it up, and we are delighted to welcome Jay to the program. Jay, thank you so much. I hope you're well.
Paul, we are breaking down the Berlin Wall, my first ESPN appearance in, I believe, 10 years. Right here.
I'm sure that I'll go over to East Berlin as a result of this, but you know what? I don't care. We are just happy to have you on. I've kept up with you for so many years, and reading you most recently on my good friend Jason Barrett's site. And I know that you've commented on almost everything imaginable, but this week we have been inundated with conversation about what first the Ivy did, then the Big Ten. Beating up on your poor MAC schools, and now trying to figure out the recipe to have a college football season, which the commissioners still maintain we are going to have. I'm just going to sit back, put my feet up, smoke a cigarette, and listen.
Well, Paul, it's baffling why reasonable people can't grasp the obvious about football. You're going to play a sport without a vaccine. You're inviting this coronavirus in to blitz pretty much unblocked from the blind side. It's an opportunity for massive outbreaks and spreads. We have enough of them in this country. And yet, people who love football, and I'm not just talking about fans and media and broadcast networks that have so much at stake financially. I'm talking about NFL owners, university presidents, prominent head coaches in college football. These are almost megalomaniacs believing that we can go out there and beat down this virus. We are bigger than the virus. Paul, I think it's pretty obvious COVID-19 is bigger than all of us, including the sport of football. And specifically when you were referring to college, that is your baby, of course. You've got so many campuses. If I were a parent right now, and a son or daughter was thinking about going back to a college campus, I would be petrified. I would be further petrified if we were playing football and you have a lot of young men who maybe aren't socially responsible and still going to bars and parties. This is different than the NFL. The NFL, they're being paid. College football players are not being paid. And I simply would not trust, as I believe, I can't believe which coach said this or AD said this, maybe you know, but spot on. He said, 22 hours out of the day, I have no idea what my players are doing. I can control them for 2. I cannot control them for 22. And, Paul, I think that's the problem with college football.
Talking to Jay Mariotti, and you're right, Jay. I mean, everything else is understandable. You're getting paid. You take a risk. That's, you know, you can choose to opt out if you want and can afford to. College players want to play. I talked to some players earlier. I've talked to parents. I've talked to people around the sport. And not only do they want to play, they seem to have a disregard for the virus. You've seen the numbers at Clemson. I've heard astronomical numbers at prominent schools. They almost feel like almost seem to think that if they get everyone infected, they're going to beat this somehow.
Well, at some point, people all over this country are going to realize this is real. I understand there are still pockets of indifference. Maybe in your part of the country, they aren't viewing it the way I do in Los Angeles, where they're about to quarantine us once again. I don't quite understand the geographical and political ramifications of this, Paul. I would have thought by now, 5 months into this, we would be united as a country and realizing what we're up against here. But there are people out there who still won't wear masks. And, you know, I saw Nick Saban finally getting involved with that. You know, wear the mask. Well, that should have been done several months ago. And I'm glad to see prominent college football coaches finally getting around to telling young people, hey, if you don't wear the mask, you're not going to get college football. Paul, I think it's insane for anybody to be even talking about putting fans in the stands at this point. And I'm pleased to see, finally, it's incremental. They're letting everybody down easy, but the Big Ten, first the Ivy League, now the Big Ten, getting involved and pretty much hinting rather strongly that we're not going to have a college football season. And what's amazing, Paul, is, you know, baseball, we can get by without it. The NBA is a social media extravaganza. Golf is a niche sport unless Tiger Woods is playing. We can get by without it, but I think the entire idea of an autumn without football in this country is really throwing people for a loop. They don't know how to handle that, especially in maybe your part of the country where it's religion. So face it, folks, we're dealing with something we haven't dealt with before. We're probably going to get a second wave, and I'm rather surprised that by now, Paul, more people don't get it. Sports is on the back burner, and it would be a miracle to complete any of these seasons.
Having said all that, Lou Holtz, someone you've covered in your career at Notre Dame and other places, went on Fox News last night, and he basically said, he said, and I quote, "There's no way in this world you can do anything that's without a risk. People storm Normandy." I don't know what that means. I mean, he's a former football coach who's basically saying we have to take a chance.
Well, it's easy for him to say when there is no social distancing involved. We may as well call the line of scrimmage the Petri dish, because you've got sweating, panting, bleeding, you know, call shouting people within inches of each other. This isn't baseball, where the only social distancing issue would be, I think, the batter and the catcher and the umpire and maybe somebody talking at first base, convivializing with the first baseman. I don't know, but in that sport, or golf, or maybe even tennis, you don't have these issues. Come on, football, you've got all of that going on, and then blocking and grunting and running and tackling. There's no social distancing. And then, Paul, what do? They go into the confined space of a locker room. The COVID-19 may as well just set up camp in every stadium in America for the next 3 months. If you're going to have sweating football players at halftime of a game walking into a locker room, it's just nonsensical to me. You can get away with trying to play baseball and trying to conduct NASCAR races and golf tournaments, but football is asinine.
Jay, I'm interested in a couple other things because there's a lot at stake in every one of these leagues, but ultimately, if the NBA fails, they'll deal with it. Same for MLB and the NFL. But in college football, you have presidents who are responsible, and it seems, and you covered the sport, not as a main beat, but you've been to enough college football games where you know what's going on right now. This is about money, I wonder, in the end, will they look to the other side if something goes wrong, which most of us think something will terribly go wrong?
Well, they better. Right now, it's wealth over health, and these university presidents who purport to represent higher academia, Paul, I want them to represent higher academia and make the right health call here. And if you have to leave a fortune on the table for a year, so be it. I'm with Lincoln Riley. Why don't we just table all of this until the spring? Why don't we gather more data and see where all of this is going? Give it a rest. Let collegiate athletes think about their studies and doing their online courses and not have to worry and fret about this. Don't make Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence make life decisions to play college football when it might impact their NFL careers if they get sick. To me, college football by now should have shut down. I want to know, too, where the university presidents are. Where I live, Los Angeles, USC has already said no students on campus, yet they've left a little wiggle room in there for other students. Well, you know what that means. That's football players. Come on. I mean, if it's not safe enough for the other students, why are you going to trot out these football players? Answer, money. They're mercenaries. They're 20-year-old kids. Same argument, making a bunch of money for the university, only they are inheriting massive health risks at the same time. You can't have college football this year. No, not fair.
Jay, I know you've never cared because to be outspoken, you can't care what somebody says back in the early days of calling or writing or now unloading on you on social media. But this has become a very big political issue, and I know you've written about it. I mean, you can't escape it, but in just your observations of the media trying to deal with all these sports entities, I'm really curious what you think and how it's played out so far.
Well, I'm fortunate, Paul, to work for an independent site where I write what I want and Mr. Barrett doesn't touch it. But you have, including your own network, there's so much financially at stake. I have been critical of various networks, Fox, ESPN, of maybe not being out front with the pandemic. Certainly with the racial issues in this country, all of the commentary is very deserving, and I want to see more of it. But I haven't seen enough about the mess that baseball, the debacle we saw earlier this week in baseball. I haven't seen strong commentary out there. Too many media networks and outlets have something at stake financially with sports and the resumption of sports. I can tell you The Athletic, a site that I admire and might be the last gasp for anybody who wanted to write sports in America, has so much at stake. If we don't have sports, live sports in the future, Paul, are you going to pay $59 for The Athletic and a subscription? Are they going to differentiate their coverage enough for me to pull out $59 when 20 million people are unemployed in this country? There is so much at stake for the sports media, yet I don't see many stepping out the way I do. And I'm not, hey, I understand everybody's circumstance. People have families to protect. It's the most difficult time for sports media in the history of this industry. I understand that. I'm not criticizing anybody. But your question was, how do you think this is playing out? I don't think there is enough criticism of the Rob Manfreds of the world for completely screwing up baseball. And right now, college football front and center, they've teed it up this week. I've seen the media reaction. Got to be honest with you, Paul, a lot of people seem to be frantic. It's, no, we're not going to have college football. Well, you should have thought about that 3 months ago. Of course we're not going to have college football.
You alluded to about, I just want to finish asking you to elaborate on it, because I'm pretty sure you said a minute ago college football should be shut down. I mean, you're talking about right now, today?
Why not? Why not let everybody get on with their lives? And I think that's one of the reasons the Big Ten made its announcement without coming out and fully saying we're shutting it down, but it's sort of a heads up to everybody involved. We're not going to have a season. That's why the SEC has a meeting on Monday. That's why the other conferences are saying we're going to have decisions. Paul, you've been in the business a long time, and you're very aware of how leagues operate. This is all an incremental heads up to everybody involved that we're probably not going to have a season unless there's a miracle. I completely understand why everybody has been waiting and hoping for a miracle. I don't think that miracle is going to happen. And when health experts are saying we could have a second wave and we're not even finished with the first one, I don't know what people want. I'm trying to be realistic. I'm not trying to be negative or ruin your life. What I'm trying to tell you is we're losing this battle. It's 73-0. We're losing to COVID-19, and I understand you love football and gamblers love football and you love going to Tuscaloosa on a Saturday, but it ain't happening in the autumn of 2020. And you know what? If it comes back in 2021, we can say we made the smart, sensible call to pull the plug before anybody got seriously ill in 2020.
Can't thank you enough. Jay Mariotti, it's so great to have you on. I've missed hearing this commentary, although I do read it on Jason Barrett's site every day. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jay. I don't know if we'll ever be allowed to have you back, but I hope we can.
I don't know why not. It's free thinking country, right? But I appreciate you, Paul. I've always enjoyed your work, including when you wrote columns back in Birmingham. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. Jay, great to have you on. All the best.
Take care.
Jay Mariotti, you heard him. Wow, that was quite a lot to understand and digest. We'll take a break. We need one. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, let's get some reaction to Jay Mariotti, and Jim is next.
Well, he was spot on target, as I was, Paul, and you know that, and I'm glad to see you finally, you know, I don't know what the word is, but getting more accustomed to being in agreement with what the reality truly is regarding the playing of football, which is not supposed to be done in this conditions and under these circumstances.
Well, I see so many people struggling right now and trying to deal with keeping, you know, food on their table and all that, and then I see the massive amount of money that's going into sports. And by the way, I understand what I do, but there is a difference between the NFL and college football, and I'm really interested and excited, not excited, but eager to hear what Sankey has to say next week after they meet, because I think Mariotti broke the code better than I have been trying to do for 24 hours. The Big Ten sent a message yesterday. That's why nobody knew about it, and that's why nobody went along with them.
Yeah, and what you just said, that last paragraph that you just made, was as good as you can get. Was as compelling and accurate, and just leave it there and don't mess it up, because that was superb, perfect, and honest and true what you just described before I started talking this time. And yet, the struggling, everything about it, the whole situation. And one more thing, Paul. You know, Adam Schiff is known as the biggest liar in probably America, but there's one worse than him, and that's that scumbag from Montgomery, I-Man, who got on there a while ago and totally lied about everything. He made up more stuff about me, which is untrue, than Schiff does about Trump, and you know that's hard to beat. But everything he said was a lie. But you know that's what he's been doing since the first day I got on the show and was compelling on the first day. And that fool, he's a nasty, ugly, mangy, old hippie, and that's all he's got. That's okay. All he's got.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Wayne is in South Carolina. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Last time I talked to you, I told you I was real happy that drink company gave my sister-in-law and I 40-yard line tickets to the Alabama-South Carolina game.
Right.
Argo,
right.
Alabama. Charlotte, North Carolina. Matthews is where Diane lived. I'm getting ready to visit her in Orlando. And one of the things that happened to the Big Ten, the Ivy League schools, and the Pac-12, they didn't see coming, and these presidents have to live with it. Three things have happened. The fourth largest collection of revenue is gas pumps. 24/7, 365 days a year, they collect 42 cent federal, 33 cent state. We shut this country down. We didn't collect that money. 12 to 14 states are now broke because of that. I can order your book, A Suit of Clothes, go to a truck stop there in Spartanburg, and it'll be in a locker, just like the Greyhound bus station. And there's no jobs at the mall because the malls are going to close. And that drink company is letting my sister-in-law work here for the next 2 years because this situation made people realize I don't have to have a 16-story building in downtown Charlotte to run my bank, my credit card, blah, blah, blah. Charleston, a tourist town. Those college kids can't make $100 waiting on tables. These things happen, and we have a reset. And the reason people are crazy, their children are home, and they can't go get a job. I was a sports editor, and unlike Jim and I-Man, I played for Coach McKissick. But unfortunately, when I went to Carolina, that was the only time they won conference. But fortunately, the United States Army gave me a 2-year scholarship, clothing, housing, continuing education. And I ended up, after going to college, after I got out, getting in the trucking industry. And when we shut these cars down, we quit collecting money. And these presidents can't go to the governor and get $100 million. They don't have the money in New York, LA, Chicago, because they depend. Sports has been a giant economic band-aid. When you went to the Georgia South Carolina game, when Spurrier was a coach, there were more people outside the stadium at the fairgrounds tailgating than there were the 87,000 inside the stadium. And your callers have been passionate. They've been correct. And we're just in a reset. And we're going to get through this reset. And we're going to be better. And people are going to start thinking about helping their neighbors and having a better health regime. One last note. I-85 in the trucking industry is the most contaminated interstate. 95 and 77 are second. 10 and 40 are third. People quit flying. They started driving, didn't wash their hands, touch this, touch that. And as a sports editor in high school and a football player that I have a record on, I couldn't wait to get that news article that you and others like yourself wrote so I could read about the winningest coach in American history, Coach John McKissick. I listen to your show on podcasts and on radio, and I have 4 million miles, and we're going to get through this, and I have a present for your wife. When my daughter, All-American, went and studied pre-med, she went to Tech and studied dental hygiene at the same time. She's got a good job. My other daughter's in the Hall of Fame right across from the stadium there in Columbia, played for USA volleyball team. She's getting her doctorate at Purdue online. These changes have happened, and there's no money in 14 states. They're broke, and they're not going to put their name on one of those tall buildings downtown in Charlotte and open up a bank or a credit card place. And those changes just come, and the epidemic started it. and your company and all the corporate people that got us those 40-yard line tickets for David, who never saw an Alabama game, who brings water to a hurricane or a tornado like in Alabama. We will all get together, and we'll get through this year, and we'll be tailgating, and we'll be doing wonderful things when it starts again. I love the fact that you and Ivan and many other people can take your passion and emotions and move it from your brain and heart to a piece of paper. I miss that glossy paper. It was fun to read that. You have a wonderful show. I'm about an hour away from Diane, and she'll be working for 2 years for that company in Charlotte out of her home here in Lakeland. And many of my friends are doing that. And your callers have been correct today. I would be worried to death about sending somebody to college because they're not going to get a job at the concession stand. They're not going to get a job at the mall. They're not going to get a job at the restaurant. Keep on keeping on because
hey, Wayne,
you have
thank you so much. What a pleasure to talk to you again. You be well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. What an amazing Friday afternoon it has been. Let's get back to the calls. And what about Augie in New Orleans? Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. I admittedly, I had to take a decongestant today, so I didn't quite follow that last call. There was a lot in there. We went from the bus station to litter on the highway, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was like reading one of those novels where it's like four parts, and if you miss a pay, if you like fall asleep, you may not remember where you are.
Well, that's kind of what happened. I thought you had went to another caller, but I'm like, that sounds like the same guy. And he was talking about the bus station and lockers. I'm thinking, well, maybe Jimmy Hoffa's in one of those bus terminal lockers.
It reminded me a little bit of, remember the famous Beatles song, A Day in the Life, where it's yeah. Two different stories going on at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. And he was very proud to have played for Coach McKissick. Now, I don't know who Coach McKissick was.
He's a famous high school coach.
Okay, well, my famous high school coaches were Robert Bingham and Rufus Nesbitt, but there you go. And, you know, he was very proud about accomplishments of his family. So the only thing I got is that my turtle took top reptile in the South Louisiana pet show in the spring of 19. So, sorry, that's all I got. But
John McKissick was the winningest coach. He coached in South Carolina. He was the winningest coach in high school football history.
I wonder about how he ranks against John Curtis. You know John Curtis, right?
Yeah,
New Orleans,
sure.
His famous coach. He's still coaching, and that guy's always winning. But
yeah, he just died recently. I think he won 10. I'll tell you what was famous about John McKissick. He was mentioned in Pat Conroy's famous book, The Prince of Tides.
Okay, I've got to read that one. Admittedly, I don't know about it, but Mariotti was your best guest since that lady, what was her name, Victoria Jackson?
And Victoria was quoted today in some newspaper. I'm reading, like, it was USA Today. All of a sudden, I saw Victoria. I didn't realize Victoria was an NCAA track champion, but we need to have her back when I'm paying attention.
You did, but Mariotti was great. And
Mariotti
made the most sense of anybody that has been on your show. And I'm glad you didn't bring up Ozzie Guillen to him. I would have liked for you to ask him if he ever had to urge just a cold cock Plaschke in the mouth. That would have been a classic.
Yeah, there's a lot I would have liked to have asked Mariotti, but I don't know Jay. I've never met him before, so that was the first time.
I just remember, you know, around the horn. He just seemed like an obnoxious guy from LA. But Mariotti sounds like Eugene Levy from Second City TV. If you listen to him, you think you're hearing Eugene Levy. But talking about being quoted in the paper today, Paul, did you see the article in Saturdays Down South?
No.
You're quoted. Do you know a guy named Michael Wayne Bratton?
Yes, I know who he is.
So Michael quoted you, and he said that Paul Feinbaum has given up hope. The good news is He doesn't have any power in the matter, so there you go. But he did say you have the biggest platform in college football. So on the one hand, he giveth. On the other hand, he taketh away. And he did quote you by your comment on the NCAA statement that a third grader in Madison, Wisconsin, could have put together a more cogent
Yeah, that was on Golic and Wingo today.
Well, I'm glad you picked a third grader in Madison, Wisconsin, because if you were talking about Starkville, you probably would have had to have gone to an 11th grader, probably a freshman in Oxford. And if you were talking about Tuscaloosa, you'd probably have to go to somebody with a PhD. But Lou Holtz, talking about we just got to grow a pair and take risk like we did at Normandy, does Lou not realize that Normandy was a life or death situation?
Yeah, well, no, I don't. But by the way, we have to go to the. I was just relieved to know Lou is still among us. We'll be back with one more hour.